Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. This is Mary Blake, and I am very excited today to welcome a very special guest, Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. Ada Marie has been working with clients and friends and students for many years. And the term Golden Oracle is very fitting. Welcome to the show, Ada Marie.
Thank you, Mary. I'm delighted to be here today. I thought we maybe would, it's a beautiful day here in Oracle, and the temperature is up to 45 degrees, believe it or not.
I think it's going to be even warmer here in New York City. And we've got some hot topics to discuss anyway. First of all, I was fascinated when I called to invite you on the show to hear that you were waiting for me to call you. So it's amazing when two psychics get together, isn't it?
Well, day before, I said, I've got to call Mary Brown, or she's going to call me. And on my way home from Tucson yesterday, you called, and I couldn't answer because I was driving. And when I got home, you called me back. And I said, I know what you're going to say, Mary. And I was delighted about that because I have a new website up.
That's
phenomenal. The lady did
such a fantastic job. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, maybe that's why I had a last-minute cancellation, just so you could talk about your new website. Tell me about it. What's new?
What's new about it is when you go on the site, right across the top is anything you want to talk about. You just click on it, and you can go right to it. You don't have to go through three or four things to get to it. And that's the most wonderful thing because I am not a computer literate person. And when I go to a site and I have to go three places to find something, that's not good. Anyway.
What are the subjects that are across the top of your new website?
Well, it's appointments. You can make appointments for calls, and there's a place to go in and book an appointment for an hour or a half hour. And then there's questions that I can answer. All of the things that you are interested in are listed along the top, and you can just click on whatever activity you want to try. But today I thought, because we are together again, and I truly love you, I thought maybe today the best thing would be to discuss the some of the positive things that I do for people. Thoughts are things, you know, and as people think, that's what they become. So if
that's
a lady
true.
Is selling and selling houses and she's saying, I am showing houses, what is she doing wrong with that? She hasn't sold a house, but she's saying, I'm showing houses again today, instead of saying, I am selling a house today. Do you see
that's
the change
brilliant.
In the mental attitude?
It's so simple.
And I've had about
simple.
15 people call about that.
Well, isn't that marvelous?
Well,
you know, absolutely. What a difference. And
one word changed
your
whole attitude. Hadn't sold a house in 6 months. And
but she showed a lot.
Because she was showing houses.
That's just remarkable. And, you know, it goes right into the self-talk that we are constantly telling ourselves things. Because we do. We just talk to ourselves inside our head all the time.
But do
so
we
what
talk
are you
positive,
telling yourself?
Mary?
There you go.
It has to
yeah,
be positive.
I mean, I used to call myself. I would start out of the house without my keys, and I'd call myself a dummy. And I would fuss at myself and get so mad. And then I got to the point where I thought, this has got to change. And so instead of calling myself a dummy, I said, isn't that brilliant that I remembered it before I locked the door? Before I locked myself out, you know? And it made a huge difference. It really did.
And it makes all the difference in the world. If people think, well, I don't know if this person's going to like me, I hope I have a good interview, they're not going to have one. If they get up in the morning and say, I'm going to this interview, it's going to be positive, I'm going to get everything I ask for, and we're going to be having a great relationship, and hold mm-hmm. that thought all the way to the meeting, you walk in and even your demeanor is different.
Oh, and energy, the way what you send out to the world,
right?
It really is born inside of you, no question about it. You know,
and a lady said, I have a friend, but she's from England, and you know, and they're different people. I said, don't worry, they're still people.
Oh, really?
You know, she was a delightful lady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we became good friends, have been ever since. So it's what you think. You are what you think. Whatever you send out, because thoughts are things. And on my site, I try to say that. I put a message up every day. And this morning, I put the message up that I would be on your show today. So I'm hoping a few of my people get that message.
That's pretty good for a non-literate computer literate person. So you're making
well,
progress.
I had help, trust me.
You're getting better and better.
I'm getting a little better, but I miss certain points and I get frustrated and I say, okay, I can do this, and then I call for help, and the lady is wonderful. She's wonderful to help me. You know. And today I thought it was interesting because when I was trying to post today, the time of day I was trying to do it, which the times to do things, the periods of the day are very important to people.
Yes,
and
they are.
And if you do things in the proper period of the day, then you get positive results. I put out a new CD for my relaxation. I had it moved from a tape to a CD. The day I talked to the man to have that done was on a Sunday. He immediately was able to assist me because he had the wherewithal to get the CD copied mm-hmm. for me from a tape and have mm-hmm. it edited. Now, Mary, if it had been done at another time, it might have been more complicated. But as it turned out, I now have a beautiful CD. It's on my store, on my site, but I have a beautiful CD that came with no complications. A man edited it, he redid it, and I got it back in a very timely manner. And I thank
That's
him.
Fantastic. Uh-huh.
So when he sent me a invoice, which I waited until the proper period, the F period of the day, to be able mm-hmm. to write the check and put it in the mail. So for anybody out there, the F period of the day is the best time to do anything. There's only one thing you cannot do in an F period. Are you ready?
Yes.
you cannot buy a boat.
Wait a minute now. Would you spell, is an F?
F is in Frank. Period of the day, the only thing you cannot do in that period is buy a boat. Now, I know a man who bought a boat three times in the F period. Okay.
Well, tell me, how do you know when the F period is?
Well, I will tell you when the F period is. It's on Wednesday afternoon. Between 1:45 and 5 p.m. And he bought these boats on a Wednesday afternoon three different times in his life. Every single one of those boats were damaged and sunk within 3 months.
Amazing.
One of them run up on a reef. One of them sprung. These were brand new boats. One of them sprung a log hit it or something and put a big hole in it, and it went down.
Uh-huh.
And the Coast Guard had to rescue everybody every time.
Oh, no.
And the last time, the last boat he bought, and I told his wife, I said, you know, you cannot buy a boat in an F period. Well, it's like everything else. There is a time and a place every day. And if anybody wants this information, they can call, and I can mail it to them. It cannot be put on the computer. It's very private information for people, so it is not to be put on the computer. It cannot be downloaded. They have to call in to get it.
Does it vary from individual to individual or from time zone to time zone?
There's a good time of the day. If you know, being in sales for many years, I sold laundry equipment. I followed the periods of the day to communicate with people and to do things. And because I did that, I was able to be the top salesman for many years in laundry, selling crane operated laundry.
Around that. Isn't that interesting?
So that,
well, you know, every time we talk, I learn something new about you. It's amazing.
Well, I was a widow with 7 kids. So, you see, being said, I had to work.
Of course you did.
So I have, and when I send these papers out, I send a card that people can carry in their purse. So once they study it, they can check, you know. I don't know why that thing keeps ringing.
Lisa, we're here.
Okay.
There.
Okay, good. All right. That is quite fascinating. Another thing about you and time. I was telling my producer this morning that you get up at 4 o'clock every morning to pray and to heal people and things. So when did that begin, and how is
begun in 1979 because I was stabbed 26 times and I was recovering. And the only way that you can get well when you are very, very ill is to ask God to show you somebody worse off than you are. And you know what? For 2 years, I laid there and prayed and sent healings to my family. And then when I was able to get up and walk a little bit, I was on my way to a beauty shop because, believe me, with an arm in a cast, I couldn't do anything with my hair.
Sure.
I saw this young man sitting in the sun, Mary, and in a wheelchair, and he was a quadriplegic.
Okay.
And he couldn't use his arms and legs. But I had mine.
Yeah.
So I had to quit feeling sorry for myself. So after I was at the shop and got my hair done, walking back, I stopped at his house, and his mother came to the door. And I asked her if there was anything I could do to help her, because I seen that the young man sitting in the wheelchair was a quadriplegic.
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, my goodness, do I ever need help? And so as it turned out, that morning I sat with him while she ran quickly to the market to get something and come back. And then later, I would go every day to see if I could do something, or I would call her, and I would go and sit with him if she had to run an errand, because her husband worked, and, you know, he couldn't even have a drink of water unless somebody gave it to him.
Of course.
So who was worse off, he or me? And that went on for about a year and a half. And then I started to send healings because my grandmother was a great-grandmother was a healer, and my grandmother and my great-grandmother was a seer from England. So mm-hmm. I learned when I was very young a lot of ways to do things to heal and to help people. But I started sending healings in 1979 because people would call up and they would have a cold. And I would say, da-da-da-da, and then I would send them a healing. And then the next day the cold had begun. So I said, ooh, this is wonderful. So now on my healing circle, I have around 55 people still. And anybody can be a part of that healing circle. They just call up and they join the circle, and it gives them one free hour of counseling every month. And they don't have to use it all at once. They can do 5 minutes. They can do 10 minutes. They can do a half hour and come back later in the week and ask another question. Like executives that are on the healing circle, if they're going to fly, they call me. I've got this flight booked, and I say yes or no. And when that big, the first flight that disappeared in Malaysia, I had a very dear client in California, and they were, his wife called and said he was flying on that day, and I said, no, he's not flying. So he called. I said, don't take that flight. So he rebooked his flight for 2 days later, and guess what?
Oh,
he's still with us.
Uh-huh. So is there a monthly donation to be in the healing circle?
Pardon?
Is there a monthly donation to be in this healing circle?
Yes, it is. There is. It costs you $75 a month, and that gives you a $200 hour counseling. So there's a fee for it, and I take it by credit card over the phone. I don't put it on PayPal because, say, Mary, that you're on the circle, and you've been on the circle. So when you have to stop the circle, you just call me up. All I have to do is put a little thing there that says wait, and then when you're ready to come back on, all you do is give me a new credit card if you need to and come back on.
Yeah.
And many of my people have been on a long time, you know, many years, because they know when we got into all this problems, people had to stop. I mean, they had to cut back. So they cut back. And some of them have returned because they've gotten jobs, and I've helped many of them get jobs. I've told them the right time to go, and I've told them what not to do and what not to, you know, so they could get back in business again. Because it's important. Everybody has to make a living. Everybody's got responsibility. And
That's for sure.
And I've helped a lot of people to do that. So, you know, that's a good thing. And you yourself have made a great change in your life, and you're in a new thing now that's wonderful. Fabulous.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I am really, really fortunate and happy, and I thank God every day for this wonderful energy and this new positive friend that I have made, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And I did speak with you several times about you know, the kind of things that are happening in my life right now, and it's marvelous.
Right. And you know, one of the blessings that I've been given is the ability, if they come to me. In fact, just 2 days ago, a lady asked if her daughter would come, and her daughter did not come. She hasn't come yet. So I told her, since we waited for a half hour or 45 minutes, I said, I will wait, and if Brenda comes, I will call you, and we will talk, and I'll let you talk to her, and then...
Oh, that's from the other side?
Yeah, from the other side. But what I try to do is I try to teach the person here on this side in the call to be able to talk to their own member of the family by themselves, so they can, at their own time, when they want to make a connection with them, or the person on the other side wants to connect with you, you will feel their presence, and all you have to do is say, hi, honey, or hi, your husband, your mother, whoever.
Right, right.
And so just like you can talk to your daughter now. Can't you talk to your daughter?
Yes, I can.
Yes, good. See? And how simple it is. It's a simple thing to know how to do. It's just that people don't ask. And if they don't ask, I can't offer it. I can only do what they ask for. I can't build a picture. I can answer the question. That's the difference between my work and a lot of people's work. That's the reason I am not on television, because they wanted somebody to give an answer. And if I don't have an answer, you know very well, Mary, I don't have the answer.
Absolutely. Yeah. The same with me. I mean, if you got it, you got it. And if you haven't, well, okay.
Maybe
it'll come through another time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you know, when you, a lot of times, you don't know what they're doing over there, because they're not laying still, I can tell you.
They certainly
are
not.
There are all kinds of work for them to do. And one little
girl. Once I had a Russian gentleman who spoke to relatives on the other side, and he said, who would you like to talk to? And I said, I'd love to talk with my dad. And he said, I've got a blonde guy with glasses. I said, that's not my dad. He said, no, he says that your dad is very busy right now. He's studying. He's involved in his studies, and he just can't take the time to talk to you. And I said, that's my dad.
It was, right.
No question. I resent the idea that we can intrude upon spirits anytime we want to, no matter what they're doing. They got to drop everything and run and talk to us and perform? I don't think so.
And they can't. They can't. There are bands and bands of angels and individuals over there working to improve themselves, to change their lives, and to make it better. And they can't always just stop where they're at. I mean, they can come when they can come. And one man called 3 times. Finally, his mother came and answered his questions. And then he said, okay. I said, wait a minute. She has something else to say. And she said to him, don't forget your coat.
Oh.
And there was a long silence on the phone. And he said, that was my mother. He said, I never left the house that she didn't say, don't forget your coat. I thought that was so funny.
That's what we call confirmation. Indeed. I remember once I was talking with Hans Holzer, and I said, your mother is here, and she wanted to remind you of the pet name she had for you when you were little. She called you Hansi Hansela, and he almost fell off the chair.
Right. It's amazing, because the things that are important to them over there may not be important to you here, and the things that are important to you here, they may have already moved on past that. So
exactly.
It's amazing, you know. If everybody realized that what they think is what they become, and then sit down to analyze what they're thinking and how negative their thoughts are, or their actions are, or their, what they say is, they're sick. Most of those people are ill. They have heart problems. They have all kinds of health problems, because they're instead of making a joke that's funny and positive, they make a joke that's negative. Like,
yeah.
And those negative statements are like little stab wounds.
Absolutely. Certainly are. It's very totally amazing to me. I'm just fascinated at the healing that you do, and I was just wondering if sometimes we have people who want to call in and speak with you. Are you open to speaking with our callers?
Yes, I'll speak with call-ins. Mary, when I send a healing in the morning, I say the name, and then if you don't appear, the healing is gone. If they appear, then I send a healing to what I see in their energy pattern. How those healings go. They take about an hour and a half.
For each person or for
each
for
person.
All of them?
For
really?
Mary, for Eileen, for Dorothy, for Toby, for everybody. I send it. If you appear, I send another bit. Then I go on to the next person. This is a time-consuming thing, so if I'm not up at 3 or 4, sometimes I can't get them all done until I have a break in the daytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yes,
I'm
open to callers.
Yeah. Great. Well, when Paula, my producer, usually calls in and speaks, will tell me that someone wants to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in the meantime, you got my questions here.
Yes.
And
what is your question?
How do people find you? I know you've worked with some very famous people whom you can't mention.
Yes.
But how do people originally find you?
Well, two things happened. When I moved to California, I met a lady in California who was in the movie business with movies. And she wanted to become very famous. She wanted to become, you know, a personality. So
yes,
she came to see me, and because the man I worked with told her about me, he was doing something else. And so she came, and I told her, I said, this and this and this will happen. And when it does, don't say no. Just do it, no matter how much you think it's crazy. Do what they tell you. And she did. And, of course, from that came a singer who was almost the same kind of a reading, and she became extremely famous. And then people, what they would do is, I knew people in England and in Spain and in France and Italy, and they were in the film business, and they came. They wanted to come to America, and so I gave them the best time to make an appointment, you know, to try to get something done for them. I gave them their time and the information on what to say, and then that led from one person to another. So this was in 66, so from 66 to 68, I did a lot of people, and then I met some very, very people who really are, well, many of them are dead now, actually. They they have soon passed away. I mean, over the years they have passed. But
sure.
That's how I got into that group of people. And then in New York, I had a friend who was with a big, you know, where people invest money, what do they call it, broker. And he introduced me, because I told him how to get clients. So he introduced me to his company in New York. And then he, from New York, they introduced me to their people in England. So over the years, you know, I've been privileged to have a lot of very, very fine, honest people to help, and they have done wonderful things, and their lives have become well. One lady in California, in later years, and I think in the 80s, had wanted to stay in. She was an actress, and she wanted to stay in business, and she came one morning and just frustrated and frightened, and we had coffee, and I said, "Well, what do you like to do better than anything else in the world?" And she said, "Well, I like to drive cars. I liked cars. I would like to do something with cars." And I said, "Well, what could you do in the studios with cars?" And she said, "Well, I could find cars for shows." So I said, "Okay, what do you want to call yourself?" And she gave me a name. I said, "Okay, go get a card made and go back to the studio and offer to do this." And about two weeks later, she called me and she said, "I have to find two cars, 1950, 1956 cars exactly alike, the same color. And I said, okay. I said, you will find them. You probably will find them today. I had no idea how she found cars. Okay. She's driving down the street. She'd drive around looking for cars. She's driving down the street, and this garage door was open, and these two identical cars were sitting in the garage. She goes up to the door and asks them if they wanted to put them in the movies, and of course they said yes, and she called me back about an hour and a half later, left me a message that she found them. That set her in business, and she ended up having a business so big that she was shipping cars to England and France and everywhere for movies. And,
oh, my
and
goodness.
That one thing that she got asked for, she produced in 2 days.
Oh, my.
And that
That's
was just
amazing.
Awesome, you know, but I know the universe put them there for her. See, the universe will work for you if you will work with it. If you will listen to the voice inside of you, the universe will work with you.
Yep, I agree.
And people have to listen. They have to just do what they do. That's when I found out that she drives around to find cars she wants. But she did wonderful. I mean, she even used my car. She used my car in a lot of movies, and I said to her one time, I said, well, what if the police want to pick me up, you know, because it was in one of those movies where they have, you know, a police movie. She says, oh, no,
yeah.
We put a different license plate on them. One time I got home and I was driving. I was driving to Burbank, and I got stopped. And the patrolman pulled me over, and he says, what kind of a license plate is that? And I got out and looked at it. I said, oh, sir, my license plate is underneath that. And he reached down and pulled a piece of paper out. They forgot to take it off.
Oh, that's really funny. Was it plastic or paper or something over?
It was
over
kind of a plastic. It was kind of a hard, not real hard plastic, but something they could slip in there, you know, and change the number of the plate. Yeah.
Oh,
and
that
was,
is that
the
is
plate was
funny.
Some car from Chicago. So he just took his knife, his pen knife, and opened, you know, picked it out and pulled it out.
Yeah. Uh huh.
So that was good.
That is a scream, boy. I have to tell my friend Jerron. Someone banged into the back of his car and broke a corner off his license plate and one in the front, and one of the numbers doesn't show up, and he got a ticket because of that. So he was going around last night in Times Square trying to find a fake license plate so he could cut off a 6 and put it onto his own license plate.
Well, he could just order another license plate.
I know, but it costs $50, and he really doesn't want to pay that that money for nothing. He was a perfectly innocent person, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Right. That's true. So,
Mary is Paula. Mary?
Yes. Yes.
Is Paula. Yeah, there's a couple people online that would like to talk to Ada. The first person is Christine, and she's on transitioning. So I'm going to bring her on right now.
Okay. Oh, good. Thank you.
Christine,
hi,
you're on air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi, Ada.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I was just wondering if my question is, I am transitioning back from being like a stay-at-home mom to doing my healing arts business, and I just keep getting stalled and kind of getting intimidated about going back out, and I was just wondering if you had any guidance.
Well, if you're intimidated about going back out, then what's your thinking process? Is I'm afraid, right?
Yes.
Well, do you really know what fear is? It's an empty shell. There's nothing in it. What's in it? What is in that fear? It's an empty shell. Nobody knows what you're going to say. Nobody knows except for your smile. anything about you. So if you want to go back out and do sales, right, Mary? You put on a smile.
I believe she wants to do healing.
Oh, you want
is
to do healing.
Is that right, Christine?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought she said she was in sales.
No.
Oh. Yeah, I'm an acupuncturist and herbalist, and it's just interesting to try to get back out there. It's a little bit harder than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to do healing, you first must heal yourself.
Yeah,
so do you have anything wrong with you?
Right now?
Anytime. If you've had something wrong with you, heal yourself, and this is how you do it.
Uh-huh.
And Mary can tell you, this is not necessarily easy. You have to see yourself perfect. You have to command your perfection. When your perfection is there, then you can send that same healing that you receive to anyone you wish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, I was stabbed 26 times, and Mary was badly damaged, too. We were damaged, but with constant command of perfection in our mind and body and emotional world, we came back to where we are today. Right, Mary?
Absolutely.
And you are
know,
a
I'm,
prolific
I,
writer.
Yeah. I'm just receiving something from my guide, and she's saying, instead of focusing on your own feelings, think about the people who need you, and think about how much they will be happy when you are able to help them.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
I like that. Wow, that just shifted my energy. Okay.
Okay.
One of the things I always tell people, I personally do not do the healing. The healing comes through me. The healings actually come from God. You're just a battery of energy that is used to produce those healings.
Right. Okay.
That little child that you are holding wants so badly to communicate with us and hasn't mastered language yet. So,
no, yeah.
So just talk normal talk with that little guy, okay?
I will. Thanks. Yeah, he's 14 months. Thank
yeah,
you so
good
much.
Enough. Okay. All righty.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mary, your next listener is Helena, and I'm going to bring her on the line. She has a question. She's on the verge of a big move, so she wanted to get guidance from Ada, so I'm going to bring her on the line right now.
Ah, wonderful.
Hello, Helena.
Thank you.
You're on.
Hi. Yes, I'm just about, I keep getting a little scared, about to move from a place that I've lived for I guess nearly 30 years, and there's lots of stuff. I'm moving into a really small space, and I'm a little frightened about it. And I was just wondering if you pick up anything about if this is a good move, or it's something that's been a long time coming and probably should have happened about 30 years ago.
Well, if it should have happened 30 years ago, then there's been some reason why you couldn't make that move. Is it because you're afraid to move?
Part of it was that I had low rent here. I think felt I could be late on my part.
I see. And where are you moving now?
Not too far away, maybe about 20, 30 miles away, but I'm closer to the city and near everything that I do.
Okay. And you feel concerned about the move? And I'm looking in your auric field, and it looks like it's a good move.
Oh, good.
It looks like your only really concern is the size.
Yeah.
Of the place. And there are a number of things you have that you'll either have to store or just release. Let me tell you that in 1960, my home burned down. All I got out of my house was my children. Seven of them I got out of the house. And the next day I had to take them to the penny store in their pajamas with no shoes to buy them clothes because everything burned in the house. That's how much we lost. So afterward, 2 years later, after we regrouped, we went to Grandma's house and finally got a house and we started over again, I realized that nothing that we have in the physical world is of that great importance. It's how much importance we give it. Are we going to use it today or tomorrow or next week or maybe before the end of the year? If you're not, release it, because the memories that you have from what you have are with you, and they will stay with you, and they will be wonderful. But the other things that are holding weight, you know, you have to store them, you have to pay for them. Are they necessary? Ask yourself, is this really necessary?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, total sense.
Yeah. And I had to do that twice. My home burned down twice.
Oh, my goodness.
It burned in California, and it went down, and, of course, once again. But I said, people have stole things from me. They've come in my house and taken things. But you know what? Whatever they took is their responsibility, and they will pay due penance for that. Right, Mary?
Absolutely.
But it was a thing. They didn't take my life.
Yeah.
Right?
You
see what
And you know, sometimes you find that less weight that you're carrying around with you is more freedom.
Right, definitely more freedom.
Okay.
But the place looks what I'm seeing in your own org field is that the place looks like you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, good! It's a shared place. And it looks like we'll get along okay because it's small quarters.
Right, and you will, because both of you are considerate.
Yeah, this is
so
true.
You're considerate of it. You love each other. You're kind. So it'll
and
be
you'll
fine.
Be able to attract more work because you'll be closer to it. And people don't like to travel a lot of times, you know.
Yeah,
it's funny how they do. They won't travel. I live in this little community, and the people don't really support the community. But they won't travel out of their way to go somewhere, you know, different.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I moved to a space with less than half the area in it. And I found that people, since I was closer to them, they were much more willing to come by and to work with me and to attend my classes and all that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, for me, I'll be close to my work. Yeah.
Yeah, it was new energy is coming.
That's true. It's a good energy, though, Mary. Very good.
Oh yeah, but you do. Sometimes you stagnate and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
You think you're hanging on to things for safety, and what you're actually doing is hanging on to things that drag you down and slow you down and prevent you from being what I'm getting the word fancy free. So.
Giving you a new opportunity to smile.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
Well, okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Helena. This has been lovely.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
So isn't it wonderful to just be able to. To tune in like that, and
it is, yes. And I'm really happy when they can see, you know, they have enough insight to see what the change is going to do for them.
Yes, and you know this. All of this, it's a partnership.
Yes, it is a partnership.
We work with people, and we give them suggestions and ideas, but they have to follow through.
There's where the thing falls down. You know, I helped a number of people who could have become very, very, very famous or very wealthy or done wonderful things, but they didn't put forth the initial effort from themselves. They just set and let it, the time, because time is everything. Time is very precious. The only thing you can really give people today is your time. It's very precious, but if they don't follow through, and I have a plan. I started back in the 80s. If I help somebody twice and they haven't done what I told them the first time, I don't help them a third time.
Uh-huh.
Because there are many people who will grab the ring and help themselves. But if they won't by the second time, if they didn't do it the first time, there isn't going to be a third time.
You know, it's that fix-me mentality, and sometimes I think doctors have really inspired that. They will pat you on the shoulder and say, "I'll fix you right up," as if you were broken. You know?
Yeah. Right.
So people who want to be fixed, it's almost impossible to work with them.
You can't work with them.
No.
There's no way to work with them, you know.
Mm-mm.
There just isn't. So what can you do with them?
Spirit is very not patient with that kind of client. Okay, you want to work? Fine. Let's go to work.
Right. Let's put our shoulder to the wheel and make it happen.
Definitely. Well, I was just wondering, could you maybe dip into that long memory of yours and talk about some of the life changes that happened to your clients through your work?
Well, many of them have done amazing, amazing things, and many of them who were damaged or, you know, handicapped because of some of the work they've done have really come back, and they've taken their handicap, and they have learned something new that they could do and become extremely successful at it because their attitude was, "I am slightly damaged," you see. When something happens to me, I'm not sick. I'm slightly damaged, Mary. And I have taught that to many, many people. And, you know, one lady who lost her arm. And because, I don't know, they took her arm off. I don't know why they did it, because of cancer or something she had.
Uh-huh.
And she was... She had a very, very important position in the industry, and because of the loss of her arm, of course, she couldn't stay with that. So when I talked with her, she was in the New York area, I said, "Well, what is it you really, if you could do anything you wanted to do," and I asked this many times to people, "what would you do?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "When I was in high school, I used to write prose and things like that." I said, "Well, then why don't you write? Don't you write? What arm did you lose? Can you write?" "Oh," she says, I have a computer." I said, "Then get a Dragon Speaking and start writing."
Uh-huh.
And you know, she's published like 5 or 6 books. So
that's marvelous.
And she isn't working near as hard, and she's happy, and she travels to do talks about what she does. And she's right now she's in Europe. And so, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And I often wondered what happened to Frank, the boy that was a quadriplegic, because his parents moved and I never did catch up with him again. I often wondered what he did, because when I would sit and talk with him, he had graduated from high school. What happened was graduation night, the boys all went out together. They had a car wreck. He was thrown through the window and his neck was broke. That's why he was a quadriplegic. So he would be that way the rest of his life. And I often wondered what he did, because he had lots of ideas. I mean, he was an idea person. He wasn't a little person. There are three kinds of people in the world. There are little people who talk about people. There are middle-sized people who talk about things. And there are big people who have ideas, like Miss Mary Blake. And this boy had a lot of ideas, things that he was going to do, things that he planned, college he was going to. He was very smart, and I kept telling him, I said, you will find a way. There is a way. You can always find a way to do something if you want to find it. You can find it. Maybe you can't take and hold a glass to drink a glass of water, but your brain is very smart. Maybe you will design something that will make it possible for you to use your head some way to be able to do things that other people can't do. Well, a lady in New York or someplace over there did a documentary on a boy with no arms and legs. It's a fantastic documentary, and it should be coming. It should be something that people can see soon. I don't know.
Oh, great.
Name of it, but you will hear about it, Mary, because it's
good.
The lady who she wrote the story, and they just filmed it, and she got honorable mention at one of the shows that they do.
It's Sundance, maybe.
Maybe Sundance or the one in England. I'm not sure which, but it should be out soon. And
oh, great!
And this guy has no arms and legs, and he does phenomenal things. It's just amazing. So if you're in that area, folks, and look around, try to see if you can find it. I don't know the name of it, because I've been so busy that I haven't paid a lot of attention, except that she did call me when she got honorable mention in the film show, so that was good.
Yes, was it in Cannes, in France?
I think it was. Yeah. You're right. That's where it was. See,
there are only so many things you can hold in your mind.
Right. But he does everything. I mean, he does amazing things. So I'm looking forward to getting to see it. I haven't seen it, and I don't. A lot of people in that business, they don't call you weekly. They don't call you monthly. They call you when they got a problem. So.
Oh yeah.
When they've got a problem, that's what they're talking about, and I don't really ask questions, because it's their life, and if they want me to know something, they'll tell me.
And when you go into altered consciousness, I mean, everything kind of is
well,
written in water anyway.
Well, it's aside the mundane activity.
Sure, absolutely.
So, but my goodness, I'll tell you, if people really want to start their life and get it going right, and they get these periods of the day down under their belt and start using them, things really move. One lady sold, what's that stuff they sold, Amway? And she called me, and she became a director in 5 months. Just
That's great.
I mean, she got there before the 5 months, but I didn't hear about it until...
Oh, okay.
Till she broke her leg and she asked me what to do. And I said, well, they set your leg. Now put a turquoise cloth around it and the bone will heal quickly. And the doctor was surprised in a month later how much it had healed. So, but that's what she called about when next time I talked to her. But she's been on the healing circle since 1987, I think, 86 or 87.
Oh, my.
And she's there every month. Every month, I put her card in. So,
we make room. We make room for what's important to us, don't we?
Right. That's what we do. Whatever is important to us, what makes our day, and I think that's an important thing, that people have faith in themselves, it's extremely important, because like the little train that's going up the hill, it says, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, and it got to the top of the hill.
That's
right. And that's the attitude people have to take about themselves.
And what makes your day, Ada Marie?
What makes my day? What really makes my day is when somebody calls me and says, I did it. All by myself, I did it. I just want you to know I did it. And that makes me feel good, because even though I can't remember talking to them and I can't remember what I told them, what I do remember is their voice and their auric field, and the joy I see in them is overwhelming, just overwhelming. And it makes my day just to know that somebody listened, somebody used a little bit of information I had, and they made it work. That would make anybody's day, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. It's such a joy to know that you've made a contribution to someone else's life and to the world, really, because as we help other people, they reach out and help people that we don't even know.
Right. That's true. See, that's the thing. It doesn't matter. They say, well, can I share? Yes, you can share. Of course. There's only one of you and one of me, Mary. How could we talk to the whole world? I mean, if the people we help didn't help somebody else, it would be useless. And sometimes people call me and they'll say, so-and-so told me to call you, and can you help me? I said, well, it depends on the question. If I get an answer, you get it. If I don't get an answer, you don't get it. How simple is that?
It really
comes from God. It's just I'm just a battery to send that healing to you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And the only true healing,
right,
really is self-healing.
Right.
And when you take that wonderful energy and command your body to use it and follow through and do the things that you're guided to do, miracles happen.
Absolutely, miracles happen. They happen every day. People don't realize because they take for granted so many things. You know, they just take them for granted. Okay, it's okay. It's not okay. If they're grateful and say thank you. We're 45 miles from Tucson in this little hamlet, and going into town, there's probably 10, 15 lights, okay? So, and then you got to find a parking place. So when I have to go to the hospital and I'm going to town, I ask that the lights all turn green, and I ask that they have a parking place for me when I get there. And usually I'll only get stopped by one or two lights. When I get to the hospital, somebody pulls out and I pull in.
I was just thinking about the time when this chiropractor who was one of my students and the friend who introduced him to me and I were going downtown, and the taxi, I said, let's make some green lights. And the taxi driver went, the next thing he went, and the next thing he went, do you realize we have traveled over 20 stoplights and every one of them was green, you know?
How great is that?
This poor taxi driver was completely, you know, almost ran over the curb. He was so confused, you know. But these funny little things happen, you know, and it's just kind of like spirits having fun. They like their jokes
too,
you know.
When
Ada Marie,
yes.
If you had just a moment to speak to the world and tell the world something important, what would you say?
I'll tell you the most important thing that I can say to the whole world is, it's not what you do, it's your attitude toward it. And if your attitude is correct, you see miracles happen. It's not what you do, it's your attitude toward it. When I tell you, Mary, that I love you and I honor you and I'm very proud to know you, I feel that. That is part of me. And I feel that. And I know that we've shared a lot, and I've learned a lot from you, and that is my attitude toward you. So when I feel your energy coming, you're going to call me, I'm excited. Okay? When somebody...
I know.
Yeah, I don't mince words. You know, someone said, you don't like my daughter. And I said, it isn't a matter of like. I do not respect her. I have no respect for somebody who is abusive and a liar and a thief and a cheat. I cannot respect those kind of people, and I don't. It doesn't matter. I can like them. I just don't respect them.
I hear you.
Well, that's what I try to get people to understand. There's likes, there's dislikes, there's truth. The truth is, if you can't respect yourself, then you're in trouble. You know,
right.
So all these kids that are running around doing drugs and all this stuff, and have no respect for anybody else, they have no respect for themselves.
I hear you. So, well, we have just about run out of time.
And well, I want to give one more piece of helpful information. If you are tired and find yourself exhausted, take a glass of water or a little jar of water, place a red cloth around it, and let it sit in the sun for an hour. Then drink one teaspoon of it, and your energy will pop right back up. Do not drink a half a cupful. Just drink a teaspoon, and your energy will pop right back up. Okay?
Thank you. That's a wonderful tip.
That is a good tip, and I use it all the time.
Okay.
Keep going. So, I wanted to share that. Last time we talked, I forgot about it, but today I wrote it on my list of things. So,
that's good.
It's been
so
wonderful to be with
we
you,
just
Mary.
Go,
thank
so, you.
You
too, and thank you so much, and thank you for everyone who is listening in, and we really appreciate you.
If they want the periods of the day, they can phone me at 520-896-9510. That's the line we're on.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
And thank you, everybody. And we're just going to say goodbye with love
and light.
Light.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.